Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Thanks again for tuning in to the Transformation Talk Radio and to the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and of course, every Friday, we are going to try to empower your life by choice. I'm so excited about my guest today. Melody Reagan and I literally bumped into each other a week and a half ago at a really new venture in Denver, Colorado. We'll get to that in a minute. But she's the CEO and founder of Crazy Good Marketing, and which is a collaborative marketing company that helps clients find their brilliance and share their unique crazy good with the world. Melody and her complete marketing team help the business clients stand out from the crowd by helping them understand what they do and who they are from the inside out. And one of the things I love about this company is their philosophy of believing in curiosity and wonder, learning and applying new things, and that every brand, company, and organization is unique and worth celebrating in a crazy good way. They actually connect their clients to their future army band, a brand of evangelists, fanboys, and fangirls, or their tribe. And as always, Melody believes that authenticity will always win over popularity. So with that, Melody, let's get started. Welcome in. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for being here. Let's jump in on how we met and what we how we bumped into each other and why we're doing this interview.
By the way, I just want to say thanks for having me. And then Diane, really, are you in marketing? That was so good. I just have to tell you, I'm impressed. That was very well said.
Thank you.
Do you want to start with how we met and what?
So my brother-in-law and his business partner are excitingly waiting for their brand new business in Denver, Colorado open. I got to give a little shout out to the Basketball Social House. It's right across from Arapahoe High School on the corner of Dry Creek and University. I've been here for 4 weeks now trying to help get the business open and running, taking care of some of the small details behind the scenes. Contractors have been coming in, contractors have been going out, nets are up. So the Basketball Social House, I'm super excited about this. And I know Jimmy and Matt Barnett are as well. And that's how you got onto their team, is that this is a new concept of elevating the concept of basketball, creating a social environment around basketball and providing a full service bar, full service restaurant, in addition to a comfortable seating area that parents and spectators can enjoy Wi-Fi, drink a latte, eat some ice cream. It's kind of the new thing in the entertainment business sector. Am I right on saying it that way?
Yeah, I think you're totally right on. And I would love to add to that, Basketball Social House. You can go there whether you play basketball or not. It has fantastic food, fantastic beverages. It has just got a really cool overall vibe. And it's a fantastic place for having parties, whether it's a business party or a personal party. Lots of great space and lots of space for team activities as well as personal activities.
And you don't have to have a membership. We always want to make sure people are reminded of that. But let me set the scene for our listeners real quick.
Yeah.
6 foot hallway coming in from the entrance doors. You turn a corner, you see the 5-on-5 court. You turn another corner, you go down another hallway, and you start seeing the eating area and the bar area. You were on your way out. I was on my way in. You had your photographer with you. And literally, I feel like our energies bumped into each other around the corner before we even knew the other person was there. So when that happens, first of all, for me, as a podcaster, as a coach, I always tune in to when does something really feel right? When does it feel magical? When does it feel exponential? When does it feel expansive, right? I get super excited. And then when I see a face behind it, I didn't know who you were at the moment. You could have been anybody. And lo and behold, you happen to be the lead behind the marketing of my brother-in-law's business. And we chatted a little bit and you asked me a question. You said, man, what's something that stood out for you right now? And you remember the story I told you about the little 9-year-old walking into the 3-on-3 court?
Yeah, I do.
So this is how, let me just set this up for our audience. Yeah. So one night we had a team of youth players come in to start practice. And there's a new 3-on-3 tournament that we had just finished a lot of the details on, mm-hmm. right? Hanging the mats, putting a cove base down, all of that. And there's kids that are dribbling their basketball in the middle of the hallway, and they cross over this threshold. And to me, it's very metaphorical that I want to bring into our conversation later. So these kids cross over the threshold, the bouncing of the basketball stops, and these kids look up and they go, whoa, right? They're in awe. These 9-year-olds are in awe. And it makes me think of the movie Hoosiers, when Gene Hackman's, you know, country team goes to the big city arena, and Gene Hackman tells them to get the tape measure out because the distance from the foul line to the, you know, the key is the same, the sidelines are the same, the quarter's the same size. And in that moment, what I realized is I think that that little 9-year-old had a dream. And I would like to believe that the Basketball Social House is going to be the place where that dream thrives.
Yes.
And where it grows into something even bigger, and it's going to yes. get recognized at the Basketball Social House. That's the story that connected you and I. Do you want to comment on that?
You know what? I thought it was a fantastic story, but I also want to comment, you know, what you were saying about positive energy and when you meet somebody, I actually do think we connect at an energy level. And you are this bundle, I'm just going to say, Diane, of positive energy. The positive energy that you bring to the world is amazing.
So thank you.
It was really joyful to meet you. And then I wanted to know is what was your experience, which then led us to the conversation of you ask everybody, are you living and working in your passion? And we found an intersection of something that you and I both value.
Exactly. And so let's talk about that a little bit in your business. I mean, you're a marketing company. So let's give our listeners a little bit of a background about what does your company do? Who do you serve? And then let's jump into the question of why do you feel like the work you do is actually putting you in your place of passion?
That's awesome. By the way, just as far as starter, you're asking me a question that I think is a question everybody should be answering. So what is, as we go on this journey, ask yourself, what is it that you are doing that puts you in your place of passion? And are you living and working in your place of passion? One other thing, Diane, you've shared with everyone that I have a marketing firm. I actually am a bit of a unique bird. I have two companies. I have Crazy Good Marketing, which is an insourced marketing service. So what we do is we become the marketing team for our customers. We work with small to mid-sized businesses. And then I have another company, Eye-to-Eye Workforce. We do the same thing on the HR side. We actually step in and work with clients on developing their workforce, hiring all the way through to their end-to-end life cycle of a worker processes, and we function as their HR. So what is my passion? And some people say, how do you have both of these businesses? Well, actually, they interrelate. You cannot be one thing on the inside and something else on the outside. So your culture on the inside of your business actually affects your brand on the outside. You know, you can't say you love your customers unless you love your team. And how people come to work every day and what they feel, they express to their customers too. So what is my passion? And this is the conversation that you and I had. You know, it's so funny. Some people want to say they're just in business to make money. We all go to work to make money. We have to pay our bills, right? But what really motivates me is my customers. I feel like we play an integral role in making their business successful. So how do we do that? We help them on the marketing side with driving revenues. They have to make money so that they can then produce jobs and pay for their workers. And then I take a tremendous amount of joy in creating good work environments and helping teams come together in a very positive way. Like I love doing sessions with team on strength finders and having individuals create a strength-based culture where every individual is able to come to work and bring their brilliance, which is our tagline. What I love is if I could create a perfect world, I'd have everybody living and working in their strength. And what I would say, Diane, I think you are. I think you're one of those people. And I think that's a little bit of the energy that we were sharing is we are able to share our gifts in a way that are having a positive impact in the world. And that's what I would wish for everybody.
Well, thank you for reflecting that back. And I wish that for everybody too. And I think the work that you and I do, I mean, you're in the marketing world and I'm in the coaching and leadership and perspective world. But I want to bring that word in because I think that that's something that's a crossroads that you and I share, is that in your own unique way, you help people, your clients, see things from a different perspective. Right. And I feel like I challenge people to look at things from a different perspective. So I like to say, and this isn't my quote, but perspective is the lens through which we see. And perception is the meaning that we attach to it. Right. So when you can step out of one role, like, for example, if you're the CEO of a company, I might challenge that CEO to say, OK, I need you to come into the door today as if you're the first employee of the day, or you're the brand new employee that just got hired.
Yeah.
What do you see? What do you notice? What do you feel? What do you observe in terms of what your body is doing? Are you tense? In order to help people have a more well-rounded, more integrated approach to life that's very positive, that you have to have the ability to change your perspective. And when you can change your perspective, you also, by nature, I think you change some of the meaning that you might have been taught or brought up with, or a structure that may not be yours. You keep using the word culture, and I kind of want to go back to that. Will you define what that means to you, and why is creating a culture so important to whether it's a small business, a big corporation, a nonprofit organization?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I think culture is an incredibly important part of any business. And this is something when I'm working with companies on HR processes and teams that I let them know about culture. I think as leaders, so it's my company, right? And so at Eye to Eye, when I come along and I say, these are the values of the company, all I'm doing as a leader is creating a bounding box. It's the way my team members show up every day and how they behave that actually creates the culture. And the culture is the environment that we are all working in. So if I say culture, if I say I have a culture of everything being on time, then if everything isn't on time, guess what? I really don't have a culture of everything being on time. If I say I'm going to have a culture of respect and that I'm going to have a culture of honoring each other, those are behaviors that have to show up every day. Culture is created by actions, not just values. And I love what you're saying, by the way, Diane, about perspective. Perspective, we all have a different perspective, and you're absolutely right. The perspective is based on our experiences in life, how I grew up, what I learned, what I bring to the table. And guess what? I'm a whole person. There's, you know, this is a little bit of my age. When I was younger, we used to talk about there's the melody at work and there's the melody at home. And guess what? There isn't. There's the melody. I am me everywhere. And I'm going to show up in certain ways. And it's based on my values and my perception of things. Like, this is one of my common examples. You know, it's so funny. If you take the word fine in the dictionary means high quality, right? That's what it means. But if somebody says to you, Diane, that's fine. What's your reaction to that as a descriptor?
Well, I can tell you in my personal life, that's actually been the cause of a little bit of friction between my partner and I, because I might ask a question, you know, how is this? And I get fine, but I hear a tone, or I hear there's something not quite fine. As humans, we have a really unique ability about hearing something, filtering it, flipping it around, adding something to it. And literally just this morning, we were having this conversation where my partner said, is everything okay? And I said, yeah, it's fine. And then there was a 3-minute conversation after that. Are you sure it's fine? Did I do something? Did I say something? Yeah. I'm like, no, it's just fine. But there's no backtracking. You can't get that's out right. of the hole that you get yourself into when you just answer it's fine. Because I think if the world is like my relationship, then the more you try to explain that fine is really fine, you just make the situation worse, right? So you almost have to not use that word and say, hey, I'm happy with the project that we did, or I'm happy with the communication we're having, or everything seems like it's working. Thanks for asking, right? But we tend to be lazy in our English language and we pick the first word that we think of. And I love the fact that you cited a dictionary definition because I'm a word nerd myself.
By the way, that's, and just so you know, some people are word nerds, some are not, right? But what we are talking about here is we're talking about perception, and we all have different perceptions. Now, this is something I thought about recently. Diane, I was in a conversation with a group, and, you know, years ago, I worked on an international project. So before I started my two companies, I used to work in big corporate. And I used to work at actually a Fortune 1000 company, and we had team members all across the globe, and I had team members all across the globe. And what's interesting, when you're on an international team, you do glossaries and you have discussions about what things mean. So, for example, if you take the phrase, let's table it in the United States, what does that mean when you say let's table it?
In my world, it means just let's set it on the other side of the table. Let's leave it alone. Let's put it over there. And maybe we'll eventually come back to it and talk about it when people are fresh.
Exactly. And guess what it means for the rest of the world?
Dump it in the trash can.
The table and let's dig in.
Oh, wow.
So
that makes sense.
A national project. What's interesting is we create glossaries. And what we don't do in business in America, we have an assumption that everybody has the same perception. And this goes back to a little bit of the joy and helping companies share their brilliance with the world and helping individuals share their brilliance with the world based on what we create in those work environments that you as a coach come in and work with individuals to do. Is what is absolutely fascinating is the assumptions that we make with each other. And we make those assumptions every day. And that's one of the things that actually happens in marketing. So I have a product, I know my product really well. And yet the customer that I am serving doesn't know my product really well. So how do you create those bridge communications? And it's the same thing that you have to do internally at a business. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a comparative. You know, it's like at a technical level, I am somebody that maybe I know telecom inside and out. And yet the people that we're selling internet service to, they don't care about the mechanisms. All they know is they want, when they are pressing buttons on their computer, that things upload, download, and that it works, and that they don't have sluggish interruptions when they're watching movies. So those aren't the technical terms around those services. So marketing is a bridge communication, but guess what? You have to start with all the right perspectives, like you were saying. I love that you get CEOs to come in and experience their companies like they're brand new employees. That's super smart.
Well, that's my goal, right? Because the thing is somebody who's, and even when I was a park ranger, you know, I had a lot of common, because I had worked up through the ranks and I had developed a lot of different skills. Yeah. My job was to hire seasonal employees. So it was always amazing when you got somebody who learned things quickly and could apply them to the next level. And then it was an easy next year hire. But when we would have a lot of turnover from one season to the next, you're always teaching somebody the new stuff. And I can remember we had a water break and one of my peers said, go fix that water line. Yeah. Right. So if you have never done it before, there's a lot of unknowns that are there. Sure. And what I challenged my peer to do is say, maybe you should ask a question. Have you ever fixed a water line? If so, what type? Is it copper? Is it PVC? Right? Two different sets of fixes, three different sets of tools. It's important to have an understanding of the base knowledge that the person has that you're working with. I would imagine that's very similar when you meet a new potential client or when you take a new client on. Maybe take me through some of the steps, some of the questions you ask your new client in order for you to understand who they are and also for them to understand maybe what's in their blind spot.
You know, before I do that though, just as far as a note, because I want to bring this back to a little bit to passion. with what you were just saying. I think in any great relationship, it's got to be a two-way street. So it's not just what you were asking is the person that was on your team, what are they telling you and where do they need help? But I want to define something as a passion. You know, it's so funny. There are some people who are amazing. I think everybody in their brilliance and their passion, there are some things that they're really good at. Not everybody, Diane, is meant to be a coach. You obviously are somebody who has an experience that is meant to be a coach, and that you bring people back to their heart and their passion, but also in sharing their gifts. That's not what everybody does. It's like for me, there are people out there that are amazing chefs, amazing. Me, I'm doing my hands here because I live in my head. I'm not a hands person. So cooking, it's a very physical thing that using your hands. I'm not this great cook. So when you got to fix pipes, some people are really good at it. Some people aren't. So even if I think about that seasonality of workers, what is it that drives some people? We do jobs and we do things in life, not because they bring us joy, but because we think we're supposed to, because there's a path that we think we are supposed to be on. And I have this thing that I always tell everybody, do you know the difference between a rut and a grave? Have you ever heard this? And this is a little bit of a stretch, but it's one of my phrases. Do you know the difference between a rut and a grave?
Between a what and a what?
A rut and a grave. A rut
and a grave. A rut and a grave. No, I don't know what the difference is.
Only its length. So if you find yourself in a rut, pay attention.
Interesting.
And you know what? At the end of the day, there are things you're going to look back on your life. And it's like doing that check, having that conversation and saying, am I really in my passion? You know, it's coming back. So going to my customers, and when you ask me, am I in my passion? I get up every day passionate about helping my customers succeed. Because I serve small to mid-sized businesses. And when I think about the small to mid-sized businesses that I serve, what happened is you have these amazing, beautiful entrepreneurs that fell in love with something, whatever that product is that they created, the business, the service that they're offering. And they're really passionate about what they're doing, but it's really complex to run a business. It's incredibly complex. And the financials of it are very complex because you start off with it just being you. And then as you continue to grow, you need other talent. And for example, marketing has become incredibly complicated by all measures. Yes, and there are people who can make things look pretty, but in the world of SEO and technical development of websites, it's beyond pretty. It actually is an incredibly technical field. So how do you bring that expertise to you so that you can live your dream, but not have to be the expert in everything, which is another thing. You know, when I think about somebody living in their passion, if you're going to live in your passion, it takes a village, no matter what you're doing in life. So what's the team that you're surrounding yourself with? And what we do at Crazy Good Marketing and at Eye to Eye is we surround these amazing entrepreneurs with teams that help them bring their dream to life and help them grow their dreams.
So I want to ask you a question here, and then I want to tie it back to the thing you said at the very beginning about the, you know, the thing on the inside has to be the same as what you reflect on the outside. Yeah. But in your experiences, and you can choose whatever client you want if you feel comfortable, but what have you learned maybe really, really recently that surprised you or shocked you, or maybe something that challenged you to kind of like look at something from a different way? What have you learned from your clients as you take them through a process that you're now incorporating into your new routine or your new level of professionalism that you bring people?
You know, you're asking a question that I'm thinking about from two perspectives. I'm thinking about it from my client and also from team members. And there's a couple of things that I think too often. One, when it comes to team members, I think people can tend to get into a little bit of a rut. And what they don't do is they don't think about what's giving them joy. And they also don't think about the habits that they have around themselves. And, you know, this is a moment that I'm going to do a little bit of a pitch for people getting coaches. And I say this, Diane and I just met. We don't even know each other but 1 week. So I just need to put this out here that, you know, you'll spend money on your hair, your nails, or your clothes, et cetera, but actually getting somebody who's going to help you achieve the joy that you need to have every day in life, it's getting that sounding board and somebody that can guide you. I have found with a lot of workers that they really don't understand what creates a good day or a bad day for them. And they don't fully understand what their work styles are. And it's stepping back and saying, truly, what gives me joy? And I actually want to tell you, I think that's one of the reasons that we're getting a lot of transition with younger workers. They get into an environment, they don't know how to express what they need and create that give take. Going back to you and your partner having the conversation about fine. On a personal level, I'm in a partnership that later in life partnership, Dave and I met and we bonded and 3 years ago we got together. And our lives have gone through quite a few things with each other. But doing it later in life, I sit back and I ask him, would you like this or don't you like that? Or what do you like about this? And yet too often, we all get together and I just expect you're going to know me. So you're going to know me, Diane. Observe me. Observe what I want. So no matter who in your life, whether it's your boss, your coworker, your partner, it really doesn't matter. If there's something you need, you should express it. So that's something I've learned in my journey. Sometimes you don't know what you need, so that's where a coach can help you. Relative to my customers with small businesses, it is really complicated. And I think one of the things that happens with entrepreneurs is what makes them entrepreneurs is they can march to a beat of a different drum and they go it alone. And when they go it alone, they're trying to do everything and managing all of the components and understanding what they need and how to bring somebody else in to help them is actually, I think, a hard journey for my clients is what I will tell you. I've seen that with clients over and over where they expect themselves to be experts in everything, because they are the experts in their field and that they need to understand it and they need to be able to manage it. And it's really a difficult thing to scale a business. So what I'm going to tell you, I guess the one thing is I have a lot of heart and compassion for entrepreneurs. It is an incredibly hard, hard journey. And the other thing I want to comment about that is everybody thinks the business owner makes hand over fist. They make all the money. And it's actually not true. 4 out of 5 businesses fail in 5 years. The business owner themselves, I can tell you, often goes without pay to make sure that their workers are getting paid.
Yeah, you put a lot in there in that. So what we're talking about right now is we're just actually naming some things that get in the way of actually being in your joy and being in your business. We're talking about not asking for help, trying to go it alone. We're not specifically talking to entrepreneurs, but that's kind of where the conversation drifted. Right now, we're going to have to take a break. I'm with Melody Reagan of Crazy Good Marketing. And we want you to stay tuned because we're going to talk a little bit about how you get out of your rut, how you create a positive environment in your workplace, and how you step into your passion if you've lost it, forgot where it was, or don't even know that you have it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it, launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com. Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. This is the Diane McClay Show, where every Friday we try to help you empower your life through choice. And before we jump back in with Melody Reagan of Crazy Good Marketing, we talked about passion and we talked about action and we talked about making sure that our actions kind of match what our culture or what our belief is. And one of the things that I did on my other show, and I haven't done it for a while on this show, is I want to put a land acknowledgement out to the Native tribes. We're in Denver, Colorado. We're in Arapaho County. The main street that we drive on is Arapaho Road. You can't help but feel like you're connected to the past, the early past of Colorado before it was settled in 1876. So I just want to give a name shout out. I try to do this because as a business owner, as a coach, as somebody who can travel to different places, I recognize that I am actually a descendant of somebody that settled an area, right? And there were Native peoples that were here before us that contribute to the culture, to the environment. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't name the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, the Kiowa, the Ute Nation, the Navajos, the Apache, the Shoshone, the Comanche, and the Pueblos. Those are all historic tribes. And when we say tribes, remember that there's bands of people that are also unnamed. But in today's world, only the Southern Ute and the Mountain Ute tribes have actual federal recognition. So one of the cultural things I like to do on my show is acknowledge that my success, you know, the house that I live in, the business that I run is on the shoulders of somebody who came long before me and who may not be in the limelight. So that's just something I want to do is just give a recognition to the stewards of the land and the people who came before us, because those folks, when they were allowed to live in their prime, had a lot of passion for the area, the land, their community, and their interpersonal relationships, which is kind of what we're talking about today. So thanks for that.
Diane, I want to say thank you for that. My grandmother on my father's side was full-blooded Cherokee. And one of the things that people don't realize is the actual lack of acknowledgement to Indians in the United States. Unless your family actually put their name on a list, there was nothing that you were given from a family perspective. So thank you for that and keeping us in the truth.
Well, you're welcome. And part of the truth is to remember that a lot of things were taken, you know, legally, illegally, respectfully, disrespectfully. You know, I was reading an article, I was doing a little research in Colorado, and let's just put it out there because this is Transformation Talk Radio, and we can't change things until we have awareness, right? And if we go through life and we pretend like our history is super clean and super white and it's super fine, nobody's going to know. The reason why Thanksgiving isn't one of the many reasons why Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving, is not celebrated by Native Americans is because it was a week or a month long of atrocities. 1864, 150 peaceful Cheyenne and Arapaho members, they thought they were under the protection of the United States government, and they were slaughtered by 700. Okay, think about that for a minute. 700 volunteer soldiers who are under, I'm not even going to give the guy's name. There was a colonel in the army, doesn't seem to, should have the recognition for this atrocity, right? 700 volunteer soldiers slaughtered 150 people who thought they had the protection of the United States. That is one atrocity of many that often gets swept under the rug, pushed aside, and sometimes we pretend like that doesn't exist. I don't claim to be an expert. I don't have that historic lineage. I'm not embarrassed to have the privilege that I have today. But for me, perspective is about recognizing my privilege in balance or contradiction to the people who have lost their privilege or who have lost something very, very significant, loved ones, history, culture, language, land, all of that.
By the way, we are today talking about living in your passion in part, but one of the things that you just brought up and what I can tell you as a business owner and in marketing, don't make assumptions about anybody. You know, every single, this is something, you know, it's so funny, years ago we talked about the market of one. What I have grown to appreciate is please don't make any assumptions about what you see for anybody as to what their privilege or lack of privilege is. Even if they come to you and what you perceive as all of these items of grace and goodness, you don't know what the life is that they've had or the life that their family has had, or even what they're dealing with when they go home or when you're not around them. So I appreciate what you're saying. And this is the history of the world. It's not just in the United States. We have had good times, bad times, good experiences, bad experiences. It's don't make assumptions, but that is one of the things too in living in my passion. I like to help everybody understand not to judge others just based on where they what they see from their lens, as you said, their perception. The other thing is to ask yourself, I firmly believe most people strive to bring goodness to the world every day and share their gifts. Sometimes we don't always do it in the best way. I can tell you I'm not always the most perfect leader. But how can we be in grace with each other, with our coworkers, with our customers, with our owners, with everybody? Because we don't, as they say, we haven't walked in their moccasins, right?
Right. I'm kind of a list maker. So for our listeners who are tuning in, I want to recap a little bit that we inadvertently created a list of things that might get you into a rut, or they might be signs that you're in a rut or in a grave, as you mentioned. One of them is not understanding the culture you're trying to put out to your community. Another is making assumptions either about your clients or your workers or your business. A third is that you're not communicating in a way that's clear. We use language like everything's fine. And the fourth could be that somehow we've lost connection with joy. And one of the things that you claim, I love your mission statement on your website about how you work with your clients so that they understand who they are from the inside out. So could you speak a little bit about a process or a strategy or a tool that you use with clients in order to get that alignment of what's being projected on the outside in alignment with what's being believed or supported on the inside?
I really love this question. So on the marketing side, one thing, and a lot of people say, like, how is it that HR and marketing have anything together? But they do. Everything is a system and all systems are intertwined. And what we do when we're working with smaller businesses on their brand and what they're trying to achieve, we go through a process that we understand what it is that they're looking to sell, what's the service that they are trying to provide, product or service, who it is that they're trying to connect to. We try to understand their placement in the market. And then we also dig into what are their values? What are their values as an organization and what is the culture? And it goes back to you cannot be all things to all people, right? So what is it that do you want to provide a higher level of service? Do you want to be the low-cost provider? And then within that, if you say I want to provide great service, that means you're going to treat your customers in a very respectful, positive way with the expectations that they have. if you want to treat your customers really good, you can't treat your employees really poorly. Because somebody who is treated poorly is going to be modeling. This is why the inside to the outside matters. You will model the behaviors that you have. And the other thing that I would say for leaders on the inside to outside, if you tell your customers that we're always going to be on time, if you're not creating a culture that honors being on time, and people, come see, come saw, it can happen, we're going to lean into whatever. And by the way, just because people aren't on time, like I have this amazing graphic designer, and one of the things that he lives in the world of ideas, and sometimes for him to make deadlines, he is so lost in ideas that we have to put parameters around him to help him make those deadlines. So sometimes it's about teaming and what you're doing on the inside, because deadlines for our customers do matter, right?
Yeah, so let's take that example, because you have the dreamers, you have the creatives, and mm-hmm. then on the complete 180 degree of the scale, you have the doers. And that, to be clear, a creative, just because somebody's creative doesn't mean they're a doer. I don't mean to be black and white. I live in the bookends of in between. My belief is you have black and you have white, and then life happens in between, right? Everything that matters happens between the bookends. So, but you have somebody who's a strategist, somebody who's linear, somebody who wants things done. I have a friend who makes a daily checklist of things that get done.
Yeah.
And there's a list of things that need to get done, and then they feel very satisfied and happy and joyful when they can put a check mark or a line through it. I have another friend who only makes a list of the things that got accomplished, which is a pretty different perspective, right? Because now we're actually asking the brain to celebrate the wins that we had today. We're not setting the brain up for failure if time gets away from us, or somebody doesn't show up, or the materials don't show up on time. You know, there may be a lot of things I want to do today, but there's a different perspective about saying, what did it at the end of my day, where are my wins? What did I accomplish? And then we have people who just, they're dreamers, and they're in their head, and they're in the creative moment, and they're like, getting things done, but I've got this great idea. So let's talk about how do you navigate those kind of hard worlds with hard edges? I'm doing this because
I love it.
Right? It's like a figure eight. When I was a ranger, one of our lessons in verbal judo, if you imagine yourself as the star in the middle of a figure eight, my job as the ranger was to communicate the rules and expectations of the agency in such a way and such a manner that the other person got it. Right. And not only did they get it, but by the time I got done with it, they thought it was their idea. But if you draw a line through that figure eight enough times, eventually the star disappears. I, as the individual, go away. And that was that's a really strong lesson that I got from my verbal judo, is communicating something in such a way, in such a manner that the other person is following you and willing to go along with you. So if you have the dreamers in one camp and the hardcore list makers in the other camp, how do you bring those two worlds together so that each feel valued, respected, and like they've contributed to the product?
By the way, I'm a big proponent of Gallup. And one of the things that Gallup will share with you for somebody to do good work, one is they should be working in their strengths. Two, they have to have clear responsibilities. Like, tell them what it is that are your expectations, and then give them the tools to do the work that they're supposed to do. And what you are describing when you talk about the person who's strategic versus the checklist, you're actually telling me about the lens through which that person views the world. You're actually describing their lens. And what I've learned to balance with lens is context. So if I bring a whole bunch of people to a meeting, I always give them context for the purpose of the meeting. Are we coming into this meeting this working session? Are we here to generate ideas? Are we here to get the plan put together to get things done? And then the other thing, as a business leader and working with my clients, it's getting them to understand the systems that they put around people So it's not just about the people, it's also about the systems that we put in place to help them be more successful. So let's go to my amazing graphic designer, because he's also an illustrator. He is absolutely amazing. I have learned how to lean into the individual behaviors, and he and I sat down. He's been with us for 7 years, so it's kind of like, all right, let's talk about why deadlines are really complicated. And it's because he gets lost in the ideas. And I'm like, okay, let's solve this together. How can I help you be on time? And he said, well, there's two things. You got to let me know the quality level of the job, because he's always pushing towards an A quality. And sometimes that's not what the client wants. You know, you can't always give everybody champagne. Some clients actually just want a beer, right? And so letting him know the quality of the job. And then the second thing he said, honestly, give me an earlier deadline. And I'm like, okay, we can do that. So I think it's a little bit of context. I think it's process. You know, I really think it comes down to both. And it's honoring where each person is. But context for meetings, I have learned, I come into meetings and I'm always, okay, purpose here. There's a reason, our purpose. Are we creating ideas? Are we executing? Are we working through the plan so that people know how to show up?
As you were talking, my brain kind of just went with a couple of different ideas, and I feel like we created a list again. I love how you said earlier that everything is a system and all systems are intertwined.
They are.
My takeaway from that for entrepreneurs or new business owners would be is to recognize that every part of your business, even if you're a solopreneur,
right,
everything you do is a system. How I promote my radio show is a system.
That's right.
I'm not a big social media person. I pay somebody who likes doing that.
That's super smart.
To do it for me, right?
That's super smart.
That $30 an hour I pay somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Ashley Hotzenfeller, by the way, got to give her a little shout out. She does the thing. It's not that I can't. It's just that my expertise or my passion is in a different place. So that's one. So here's some key takeaways from Melody Reagan, Crazy Good Marketing, that anybody listening could write down if they're not driving.
Yeah.
One, everything you do or participate in is a system.
Yes.
And all systems are intertwined. I would interject that if the system isn't working for you, or you don't feel happy with the system that's around you, then start asking questions about what other system could help me. What do I like? What I dislike?
That's right.
And then connect with somebody like me or like Melody, who can actually help you start to prioritize things. And we can start to categorize or list things out in a way that maybe you haven't thought of. So do you like the system? Yes or no? If you like it, great. Is there anything you want to improve about it? Let's go on that route. If you don't like it, what needs to change in order for you to feel joy? That's the first question, right? Because if you don't feel joy about yourself, your business, or your product, you're not going to convey that joy when you're speaking to somebody or when you're tweeting or social media-ing. That's a new verb, social media-ing. So another thing is balance the lens that you see through with context for purpose. So the idea that I had, you know, how great would it be if a business leader said, okay, the purpose of the meeting today is is anybody here present at the table who thinks that they're here for a different reason? Raise your hand. Right? Oh, I thought we were going to brainstorm ideas. Nope. Actually, and if you really want to focus on your project, we're going to get to brainstorming later, but why don't you take the next 45 minutes of the meeting? You go do your thing and we'll call you in when we need you. Right? Do leaders need to be able to recognize that maybe people had a different perception before they had a meeting? Next question is everybody now knows the purpose. Has everybody done their homework? Is there anybody here who needs some time to catch up? Because we'll actually run this part of the meeting. Again, you can excuse yourself for 30 minutes, get your notes together, come back in, be prepared to give your spiel. Imagine how powerful that could be for a leader or for a business person if they just called the question, like, who's confused about why they're here?
Right.
And then give somebody that, let's create a different system, right? Not everybody has to be at the same meeting all the time. Hey,
do you know what I love? I'm actually going to tell you, this comes back to the lens. And what we were talking about earlier with marketing and with staff is the glossary and going back to the word fine. You know, it's so funny. We actually, when I'm talking, I actually think everybody sees the world in the same way that I do, but they don't. And that's the thing about marketing and teams. And what you're describing is the person who's coming in to lead that meeting. And when we use the word leader, to me, the leader is anybody. At all different times, each of us have to be leaders. So if you aren't making assumptions and you're validating where people are and what they expect to contribute, and going back to exactly what you said for context, and just as an FYI on when you're unhappy, I have to tell you one of the things I think about and what gives me joy and something I do. If I get into a pattern, which we all do, where I'm happy and then all of a sudden I find myself just getting downright irritable and I'm not happy and I'm not having the same level of joy, what I will do is at the end of each day, I will start writing a little takeout. What gave me joy today? What took my energy away? And then I'll start going through it and asking myself all the things that are taking my energy away. What can I do to change those? And sometimes it's about me going to a colleague and saying, Diane, you know, when you and I have a handoff on this, I'm missing these things. Can you add this to help me do a better job? Or it's also about me looking at it and going, hey, this is something that I'm never going to be good at. And I actually need to get somebody else in here to help me with this so that I can balance my day, like you did with social media.
And that brings me to my fifth point in our list is ask for what you need and be specific.
Yeah.
Right? How many of us just assume the other person thinks we know what we need? So, right. I mean, I'm either going to hurt your feelings because I do it without getting your input, or I'm going to hurt your feelings because I'm awkward about the way I ask for your input. Right. Well, it's not my goal to hurt your feelings, but if that's the end result, I might as well ask for what I want and what I need and try to move it forward.
Do you know what? That's exactly that. It's so spot on. And it's like even an assumption. You know what? Have you ever read the book, The Four Agreements? Have you ever heard of that book?
Yes.
I love that book. We actually, you know what? You and I talked about that briefly. Mm-hmm. I love where somebody says, world's all about me, because it really is. Like if I put a call out to somebody and you don't immediately return my call, what do people tend to think? Well, why isn't she returning my call? You know, what I've learned, I kind of have this little three strike, you're out rule. I start with the premise, of course you want to talk to me. And then it's like, did you get the message? Are you out on vacation? Are you overloaded? Because 9 times out of 10, guess what? You haven't called me back because you're on vacation. You're overloaded. You didn't get the message. So I'll try calling you again.
Right. And we can have another show about all the interference that goes between as soon as we put a message out to somebody and then we're sitting in that waiting mode, right, waiting for that feedback. You and I could have a whole other show about the interference that happens from point A to point B. We don't have enough time for that. Yeah. You had talked on our break that you wanted to come back to the word resilience. I wanted to invite you into that conversation in the last part of our show.
Oh, thank you.
We had about 3 minutes.
I had the joy of listening to your program on resilience. And I think resilience does matter. And we were talking because you were bringing this up in your show. If you wouldn't mind giving it a quick little recap, because I thought it was an excellent show and I encourage everybody to listen to it. It is also about perception, persistence, and resilience. And you really do want resilience. And the difference between those three words are, Diane?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here because I haven't listened to it in a little bit. This is a brainchild of PJ Dixon. I want to give him a shout out with pjswisdom.com. But resilience is kind of the way you, not just the way you bounce back from something, but it's how you apply yourself in the process. It's not just falling down and getting back up. It's how do you embody the whole experience to become a better person as a part of it? That's kind of my version of it, right? As a whole, not just one thing. And what I would do is I would encourage our listeners to go to my YouTube channel. And I think it's about a month ago. It's with PJ Dixon. They can subscribe to my YouTube channel. They can look up the word resilience and they could listen to the whole thing and get it in context. That's what I would guess.
It's a really good one because now more than ever, there are times you do have to have persistence to get through life, but what you really want to build is you want to build resilience. And I actually think he had amazing resilience. He has an amazing story too.
I love my producer, Jacob. He just typed into the chat, how you view failure plays into the resilience mindset. Thank you, Jacob. As always, you have me covered. Melody, we're running out of time and our conversations go so quickly. One, I'd like to invite you to come back again. But two, can you let our listeners know how they could get in touch with you or your team if they feel like they could use some business help, some marketing, that type of stuff?
You can find us online at crazygoodmarketing.net for my marketing firm, or i2iworkforce.com. And that's the letter I, the number two, the letter I, workforce, because why? We see each other eye to eye for HR. So please do reach out and I hope to hear from you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to let you have the closing words. Lasting thought that you want the Transformation Talk listeners of September 23rd to hear as we close out the show.
My closing statement would be, every moment matters. Make it the best you can make it.
Absolutely. And I would just add to that, that we get to choose how we show up and we get to choose how we react.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Melody, thank you for being with us. I'm Diane McClay on the Diane McClay Show, where we're always trying to empower your life through choice. Hopefully we did that today. Thanks for joining TTR and the Cornelia Stephanie Media Network.
Thank you for listening to the Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.